As we just heard from Adam Davidson, income inequality has been growing for decades, and not everyone agrees that that's a bad thing. Here's another trend that's been unfolding for decades. When it comes to household communication and entertainment, it used to be a pretty limited field of choices. More money couldn't buy you much more than the next guy because there just wasn't that much for sale. Well, now the choices are dizzying. You can't avoid sales pitches for new telephones, new kinds of radio, new televisions, and new things to watch on those televisions.
Oh, look at you. You are so ready. Today, we're going to take your relationship with your TV to a whole new plane of experience I call the Comcastic. Okay, all paths lead to more happiness. All you have to do is pick one.
At least according to that commercial for on-demand cable service from Comcast, which, by the way, starts at $62.03 a month. Here to walk us through some of the changes in our digital cost of living is Walt Mossberg, personal technology columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome to the program once again, Walt.
Great to be here, Robert.
An American household nowadays, as opposed to renting a telephone from the local phone company as it might have a half a century ago, what's it spending on?
Well, it's spending on a bewildering, as you said, variety of things. There's, of course, still telephones, and some younger people no longer have a landline, but, of course, they have a cell phone, which I think the statistics show gets replaced every couple of years and gets more and more expensive. We obviously have 3, 4, 5 televisions in the household, and what you watch on those televisions costs you money. One benchmark to look at is the so-called triple play packages, which are being sold by the cable companies and the phone companies, actually. And by triple play, they mean you get your television, you get your phone service, and you get your high-speed internet service. And those are right around $100 a month. And by the way, Robert, that doesn't include the cost of the hardware.
Now, this is a whole area of consumer spending where it's sort of hard to reach back and make historic comparisons because we're buying things that either didn't exist before or they didn't exist at a quality that we're told they exist now.
I think that we tend to remember things as being simpler and cheaper than they were. Remember that when we had one phone monopoly and no cell phones, people actually paid a couple of bucks a month for that unbelievably basic plain black phone, and that's a lot. Television, I know that you and I can remember this, when people saved up money, it was not a cheap purchase. They broke a lot. You had to have television repair people come out. You had to replace tubes and things. It wasn't that there was no demand to spend your money on these things.
We've been hearing all week on our program about income inequality. And a few years ago, people decried what they saw as the digital divide, that indeed the well-to-do middle class was much better wired, whereas poorer people in America were not. Is there still a significant digital divide in the country?
There still is a digital divide, obviously. There are people who don't have access in their homes to all of these things. On the other hand, the total cost of all this digital and technological stuff does rise, but the individual prices for a particular feature set actually falls much faster than the old analog product. Now, the price of a basic personal computer is substantially less than it was 10 years ago or 12 years ago when the digital divide concerns first arose.
Walt Mossberg, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Glad to be here, Robert.
Walt Mossberg is personal technology columnist for The Wall Street Journal.
Our coverage of income inequality continues this weekend on NPR News programs and at npr.org.